home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC News at 1 o'clock. This is Anna Cunningham. The British boxer Daniel Dubois has retained his IBF world heavyweight title with a fifth round knockout of two-time former unified heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua. 96,000 people watched the fight at Wembley Stadium, where Oasis's Liam Gallagher fired up the crowd playing three songs. Dubois dominated the bout, dropping Joshua multiple times. Speaking after the fight, he thanked his supporters.
It's been a long journey. I'm grateful to be in this position. God bless. I'm a gladiator, I'm just a warrior to the end, to the bitter end, and I'm just ready to go. You know, I want to go to the top level of this game and reach my full potential. You know, behind the scenes, the work with my dad, all my family and, my strong team here, they've helped me get through this. So God bless you all, man.
Israel has restricted gatherings from the northern city of Haifa up to the border with Lebanon. It said it was in anticipation of retaliatory strikes by Hezbollah. Earlier, dozens of Israeli warplanes carried out more widespread airstrikes on targets in southern Lebanon. The US National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan warned of the possibility of igniting a regional war. Najat Saliba, a member of the Lebanese parliament in Beirut, says many are fearful of a wider war.
People are hearing the strikes, over 100 strikes that were launched from Israel. We are seeing also pictures of fires and bombs everywhere. People are worried about a full-scale war or a larger scope of war, which is really something that most people don't want to see in Lebanon.
Fresh allegations have been made about the late former Harrods boss, the billionaire Mohamed Al-Fayed. Lawyers representing women who say they were raped or sexually assaulted by him say they've received 150 new inquiries since a BBC documentary revealed allegations against him. Our reporter Ellie Price is following the latest.
A number of the abuse has been detailed as happening in properties in Paris. There's also victims who've come forward from the US, from Dubai, from Australia, from Romania. I mean, the list goes on. So I think very much this becomes an international case where lawyers will sort of seek to sort through it, in effect, exactly what happened in that entire network. Harrods have said they are appalled by what's happened and they accept that many victims were failed.
Donald Trump's declined to take part in a second televised debate with his Democratic rival Kamala Harris ahead of the US presidential election in November. Speaking at a rally in North Carolina, the Republican candidate said it was too late and early voting was already underway. And Elon Musk's social media platform X has agreed to court orders in Brazil after services were suspended there last month. The New York Times reports they've agreed to ban some accounts. BBC News.
On Radio 4, the more you listen, the more you see.
We're living under more tyranny today than our founding fathers did in 1775.
A US presidential election is looming, but underneath, conspiracy culture rears its head once again. And nothing is as it seems.
All those things that we had feared our whole lives was coming true.
Burn the house down and start over. That seems to be the way.
It's America through the looking glass. Join me, Gabriel Gatehouse, as the coming storm continues. Listen on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live. Call free 08085 909 693. Text 85058. Text will be charged at your standard message rate. Plus, see our privacy notice. bbc.co.uk/5live. BBC Radio 5 Live, the voice of the UK.
With Lisa McCormick.
Good morning, Sunday morning. I'm Lisa McCormick. We're ready, we're raring to go. I've got my cup of tea beside me for the next few hours. We're going to be taking your calls on the stuff that you want to talk about. 08085 909 693 is the number. Or if you want to be part of the programme and can't or you don't want to talk, then you can send me a text as well. The number to do that is 85058. Welcome if you're joining us from BBC Local Radio, Radio Wales, Radio Scotland or Radio Ulster. Come on in, get involved. Let's get a couple of topics on the go then to begin with. I'd love you to share your experiences of dementia with me. I know so many of you have a story to tell. We're going to be hearing later on from a charity trying to help sufferers get home if they leave their home and they get confused. It's a really simple idea. It's a wristband, but it could make all the difference in so many situations. So I want to know your stories, your experiences with dementia. Also tonight, I want to know the strangest place you've been on a date or the most unique places that you've been on a date. And I want to know what the one toy is that your kids asked for that took you a mission to get hold of. What's the toy that you asked for when you were a child, but it was utterly impossible for your parents to find? What is the toy that you lusted after and you got it and you've never been so excited in your life? Toy crazes through the years. I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole before coming on air, so I want to know your story. Give me a call on 08085 909 693. You could send me a WhatsApp or a voice note to that number as well, 08085 909 693. Or, like I say, if you want to text me, if you want to get involved with the programme but you can't talk, maybe you're working or you're up with a tiny person or something, then why not send me a text, 85058. And we talked a little bit about dementia on the programme last night after Sir Alex Ferguson spoke about the work that he's doing with the charity called Playlist for Life. And what they do is they help people living with the illness unlock special memories through the power of music. I really want to delve into it tonight, though, because I know so many of you have experience of living with or caring for somebody with dementia. And a bit later on in the programme, we're going to hear from Angela McLaughlin, who's been helping her friend Don through his own dementia diagnosis since 2016.
Being a carer for someone with dementia is physically and emotionally draining. And it's all day, every day. There's no remission from dementia. There's no remission period. It just continues to progress. And it's very hard then to find somewhere that you can have respite, either for a few hours, a few days. I haven't had a break in 5 years because all my time is taken up trying to look after Dawn's needs.
And this is the thing, it is a full-time job caring for somebody with dementia, isn't it? We're going to be hearing more of Angela and Dawn's story a bit later on in the programme. You're also going to hear from a charity in Northern Ireland as well, and they're producing wristbands for people suffering from dementia in case they leave their homes and they get confused. And I'm sure you've, if you're on any of your local Facebook pages, you see this sometimes, don't you, where somebody has come across somebody suffering from dementia and they're not too sure how to get back and they start posting, does anybody know this person? Can you help me get them home? Or obviously they'll call the police, which is stressful for many people in many situations. So the idea of the wristband is that you can just scan the QR code on it. It'll give you the details of the person's carer and you can help them get home. It's a really interesting development. We're going to talk to them a little bit later on. And I'd love to hear your experience of dementia on the programme as well. Give me a call on 08085 909 693 or you can text me on 85058. I appreciate it's a big thing to open up about, but let's have a serious conversation about it. It's good to talk, isn't it? I also want to know today, what's the strangest or most unique place you've been on a date? Now, Diane Abbott released her memoir a week or two ago, and in it she describes this brief romance she had with Jeremy Corbyn. Let me read this paragraph to you. It says, "Once, after I lamented our lack of social activity as a couple, he pondered it for a few days and told me we were going out. Feeling excited, I dressed up nicely and bundled into the car. I'd no idea where we were going. Was it a nice wine bar, perhaps? It turns out Jeremy's idea of a social outing was to drive me to Highgate Cemetery and proudly show me the tomb of Karl Marx. So off they went, on a date to a graveyard." I guess you can see why that romance didn't last. Maybe you have a more successful story, or maybe it really was as tragic as that. But I want you to tell me the strangest places you've been on a date, the most unique places you've been on a date. Was it a roaring success? Or were you about as impressed as Diane Abbott was? 08085 909 693 on the phone or 85058 on the text. And do you remember Tamagotchis? Remember the little egg-shaped toy with a rather primitive digital screen that housed a virtual pet that you had to keep alive with snacks and attentions? It was the hottest toy to hit the shelves Christmas 1997. I remember it vividly, right? I really, really, really wanted one. Couldn't get one for love nor money. I was on holiday with my mum and dad, found them in a supermarket abroad. Literally, there were three on the shelves. Grabbed three of them, put them in the trolley. So excited with myself. Went to find something else or whatever, come back and somebody had taken them from the trolley. Never been so gutted in my life. So I'm almost tempted to buy one now because they're big ones again. Apparently global sales more than doubled between 2022 and 2023. And now there's even an entire shop devoted to selling the updated version, which they relaunched. So it got us talking in the newsroom about toy crazes down the years. And I even took a bit of a trip down memory lane. Tamagotchi.
Feed, play and take care of your Tamagotchi.
Bump, bump, connect you to me.
She's hungry. Time for tea.
Ain't no girl like mine, mine, mine.
Ain't
no Furby like mine.
Furby and Furby babies. Got yours yet?
Hi, my name is Teddy Ruxpin. Can you and I be friends? I really...
Everybody out.
Then one day we found an old treasure map.
Teddy Ruxpin comes with illustrated book and cassette from Worlds of Wonder.
The adult world was designed to keep us moving. And while this may make us more efficient, it's not exactly a party. Luckily, technology has produced a cure. It's called a Game Boy, the personal game playing system from Nintendo, with lots of sport, action, and puzzle games to choose from. It comes with Tetris game, earphones, and batteries.
I'm sorry, sir. Your flight's been delayed.
Good. Game Boy from Nintendo. How much fun can you handle?
That was a trip down memory lane, wasn't it? So I want to talk to you about toy crazes. What is the toy you travelled the country for to make sure you secured it for your children? What is the one toy you asked for, but it was utterly impossible to get hold of? Or were you the one that did get it maybe and your friends didn't? I want you to share your stories with me on this one. Toy crazes down the years. 08085 909 693. Or you can text me to 85058. So they're the things we've got on the go tonight. But of course, anything goes. You know what it's like in this programme. If you're a regular, you know that. If you're new, then just tell me what do you want to talk about? 08085 909 693. Let's crack on then. Let's speak to Cliff and Kent. How are you, Cliff? How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. And yourself, Lisa?
Yeah, not too bad. You're quick off the mark tonight, Cliff. This is what we like.
Okay. Yes, it's really good to get onto the program because as I predicted when you first started, you're very popular. So people have to get in early. I hope they remember that.
Yeah. Well, yes, absolutely. So what we're talking about?
Dementia.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a tragedy, and it's a tragedy for everybody involved. From my experience, what happened is that my mother started to show signs that things were going wrong. And what it is really is that I think it's quite common with dementia, because I got to learn quite a bit about it, is that she was aware that she was probably losing aspects of her memory even before the family around her. They say that often the family, the people closest, are the last ones to really realise what's going on.
Yeah.
And her behaviour became, you know, very... very strange, very guarded, because obviously the fear, the terror for some people is that, you know, if I lose my memory, what's going to happen to me? And kind of fantasies of being taken away. And it's such a dreadful fear that it causes people to change their behaviour, become a bit suspicious of the people around them. And we knew things were going downhill. And then one day what happened is that I'd been speaking to my mum, and then I spoke to my brother shortly afterwards, and he said, oh, she's furious with you. And I said, why? He said, well, you haven't spoken to her for a week. And I said, I speak to her every day.
Yeah.
And he said, well, she's just been on the phone saying that you haven't spoken to her for weeks. And then we suddenly clicked, and we realized that this was such a dramatic difference in the story that maybe we needed to sort of find out if there is going on anything with the memory. So we got to the GP, he did a short test, then went to the memory clinic, they did a test, and they confirmed really after that that there was all the evidence of dementia there. But sort of we tried to support her as much as we could. In her home, she was managing really well, but then things started to go wrong with medication. She wasn't able to take any of her tablets and things, getting them wrong. We had carers come in as much as we could, but then eventually even that got a bit impossible because she started going out and getting lost. And we fortunately found her. She'd made her way to to the hospital. She'd sometimes wave someone down, stopped a car, got in the car, and so eventually, reluctantly, against all her wishes, for her safety, we had to try and get her into a home. And that was very difficult for her, because although the people in the home had good intentions and they said that they knew all about dementia and everybody was trained for it, it was quite clear, really, that in fact, the training wasn't that good for the staff. And so staff themselves could become personally agitated by her behaviour. She was definitely, from her childhood, she was quite traumatised as a child, but that translated very badly in dementia. And I used to go into before work and after work every day to support her and to try and talk to her and feed her and just do all the things that made her feel life was normal, because that was the one thing she feared was abandonment. So I stayed with her, and then unfortunately this was lockdown and all of a sudden we were told we couldn't go in any longer to visit her, and that was catastrophic. She just was impossible in there from what we gather, and she had a fall and taken to hospital, and within about 3 weeks she had died. So it was painful for everybody involved and tragic. But what I would say to people, if you are dealing with anybody, trying to help or support anybody in your family, one thing I would really try and remember is that we get frustrated sometimes with someone with a memory loss situation because we almost think they're doing it deliberately. But it isn't really like that. Someone described it to me once very well. It's like the jigsaw of your life has been thrown on the floor and you're struggling around to pick up the pieces and put the story together, and it's so difficult for them.
That's a great analogy, but even for, isn't it?
Yeah. And even if you have to listen to things which don't make sense, or you find that person doing things which are obviously not right, it's so important to try and keep a calm way about you, because even if they can't understand or they don't remember what you're saying, what does get into them is your kindness. That kind of transcends, it goes through the memory difficulty. And even if they can't remember what you said or what you did when you were there, they'll be left with a feeling of fondness towards you.
Yeah.
You need the patience of a saint, you need support, you need a lot of people around you to look after you as well, because it can be very challenging when you're dealing with something like that. Yeah, I mean, and that's without all the sort of the medical issues that can come up, eating problems, just the general, you know, things that happen when people aren't really looking after themselves. You can put water in front of someone and you can say, "You must drink it, Mum," but you can't be sure if she's done it. And, you know, and eating gets very challenging. She's in my thoughts all the time, even now. And I wouldn't want that to happen to anybody. So I just hope everybody gets the support they deserve dealing with that problem.
Absolutely. It's such a cruel, I mean, it's a cruel disease for everybody, but the family in particular. My nanny had it, and what I found really difficult is that she was actually really happy. She was really happy in her life. And we'd have, as you described, they're really stupid conversations, but I just bought into it. I just talked to her as if they were fine and came away and thought, what have we just said? But she, like I say, she always came across very happy. But for the family, it's so tough to watch somebody get through that cliff, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I've heard different, if you've been on that journey, Lisa, then you just know how complicated it is. One thing that I have found out is that in my mum's case, she could be a bit of two different people sometimes. She was quite complicated, but in a lovely way, and she had a beautiful side to her, but she could be a bit difficult sometimes. And what I've found speaking to other people is that suddenly, if they've had problems all their life with their mum, that their mum could get dementia, and all of a sudden a part of the mum emerges which they don't recognise. It's so lovely.
Oh, really?
And in another instance, I've had people tell me that. But on the other hand, also, it could be that somebody just becomes really, really difficult because they're just so distraught, they're so frightened. I would really love to see in this country so much more being done, because there's so many people who could be affected potentially.
Yeah.
And And if we don't become experts at this, it's such a tragedy, because people do need to know how to cope with it. And also, people who get a diagnosis of dementia or fear they're getting it, they need someone to talk to as well, especially in those early stages, because they're so scared and they need someone to reassure them that there's going to be someone there for them and that we've got your back, you know, we're going to stay with you and check in with you all the time and do everything we can to try.
I'd be keen to ask you about that, Cliff, actually. Difficult. Obviously, when you noticed that maybe everything wasn't all well with your mother, and you approached her about going to the GP, what was her reaction?
Yeah, it wasn't like her to rule things out completely, but she was a bit hesitant, and I tried to reassure her with honesty, because we didn't know what the situation was at that time either. And we said, just a memory check, just to see if there's anything going on, you know, and it won't be, there's nothing to it, they won't kind of examine you other than just ask you a few questions. And we went along with her and supported her at that. But, you know, people may recognize this, but while she was there, they were asking her questions, and it was quite clear she was making up stories for them and in order to get through. And I found that incredibly sad, because you don't want to see your mother or father or anyone you love struggling, almost like they're in an interview, which they feel could dramatically alter their life and their quality of life. And it's so, so sad. But anyway, she got through that. And then, it was all right for a while. You allow yourself to think things are getting better, because every now and again, things pick up and suddenly things are a little bit better. But unfortunately, with this, there is this continual average decline, and sometimes there can be some big drops as well. And each time, people say it's not like losing your mum or your dad in one go. It's spread over that time. You're losing them bit by bit over that period of time. I do a bit of work now, obviously, where I do get the chance to speak to people. Some people come to me so that they know how to help their partner or whoever's affected psychologically, and that is where I think we really need the most support, because people even working with them, I had to examine why things were going wrong in the care home, and there was some bad incidents, and what actually happened is, while most of the staff were really good and responsible, one or two would just get some kind of negativity towards my mum. It was like they weren't prepared to put up with her confusion and her rudeness, which undoubtedly they did have to put up with. But I noticed in those situations that the levels of care were absolutely terrible. And I'd go in there and find that a meal from last night was still left in the room and no one had gone in to help her. And that's where it's so heartbreaking, is that you just want the best, and you want to try and give that person every little bit of love and support you can. And it's terribly frustrating.
You must feel so helpless in that situation.
Yeah. And then when we got to lockdown and they said I couldn't go in there anymore, and I tried everything to get in, and just went downhill quickly. And then after a fall, she was then rushed to hospital. And then in the hospital, crikey, I went in there, and even the staff didn't have masks on. And this was in the beginning of COVID, and I had a mask on, but they wouldn't let me in even to see her in the hospital. And I had to really work hard just to get to see her once. But I realized when I went in that even they had just left food away from her. She couldn't reach anything and wasn't able to help herself. So when someone is so helpless and vulnerable, we should be, in our families and also organizationally, we should be doing so much to ensure that person has the care they deserve and the dignity they deserve. And I'd like to see in this country much more in the way of responsible planning. Absolutely. So that people can get the support they need at these times.
Absolutely. It affects so, so many people. It really does. And I do appreciate you opening up about it, Cliff, because I know it's not always the easiest thing to talk about. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you as well, Lisa.
All right. Thanks. Thanks. Cliff and Ken, they're always a pleasure to have Cliff on the programme. And that's his experience of living with dementia with his mum. I want to hear your story as well. If you lived with or cared for somebody that has it, do you still care for them? It is quite a difficult thing to open up about because it's a tragic, tragic situation for everybody involved. But you know what? It's good to talk. Let's talk about your experiences with dementia. We're going to hear from a charity in Northern Ireland later on, and they're pioneering these wristbands to help someone if they leave their house and they get confused, they don't know how to get back, then you can scan a little QR code and it gives you the details of how to get help them get home again. It's such a great idea. It's a simple, simple idea, but it's just brilliant. So we're going to hear from them on the programme a little bit later on as well. So share your stories with me, 08085 909 693, or you can text me to 85058. A couple of other things we've got in the boil this morning as well. I want to know, where is the strangest place you've ever been on a date? Where is the most unique place you've ever been on a date? And we've got an early favourite here, absolutely. Listen to this from, who was it from again? I can't remember. It was from Phil in Darlington, that's it. And Phil says, over 40 years ago, I took a girl out for dinner, took her to the services on the M4. Oh, you know how to live, Phil. You know how to live. He says, after we finished, I forgot we had to go in the same direction until the next junction. Not one of my better ideas. I don't think that lasted, Phil, did it? No, didn't think so. Where's the strangest place or the most unique place you've been taken on a date, or you've been the one suggesting the date? Share that with me. And also toy crazes. What is it that you travelled across the country to get for one of your children? What's the toy that you asked for that was utterly impossible to get? The one big, big popular toy at Christmas or whatever. Or maybe you did get it. Maybe you did manage to get it. None of your friends did. I want your stories of your toy crazes down the years. 08085 909 693, or text me to 85058. Let's meet to David in Gravesend. How are you doing, David?
Exhaustive. I'm holding up, Lisa.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's what you've got to do.
At the moment, I'm definitely in the major politics stuff and world affairs alone. Yeah. I'm completely happy, knackered. Yeah. At the moment, so I'm just talking like hearty stuff, so I'm trying to cut down what I do at the moment. It just bounced back. I had a bit of a rebounce last week. Just completely exhausted, back on the antibiotics, so I'm just leaving the heavy stuff alone at the moment for a little while.
You need to take care of yourself, David.
Yeah, I know. Like somebody said, take a holiday for a couple of days. I thought, I do that. The problem is, Lisa, I'll still take the phone and then I'll slip a bit of work in, you know what I mean? So you'd have to check the bag before I left, make sure nothing in there shouldn't be in there, can we?
What are we going to do with you?
I don't know. Good question.
I just don't know.
A bit like Furbies.
hang on a second. Did you have four Furbies at one stage?
Yeah, I did. I had a pink one, a blue, grey one, a white one, and a yellowy one.
Yeah?
Furby babies. All four. I got all four set of first.
Yeah.
I got all four sets. And we had shops like Woolworths, Argos. We used to get them freely available, get me?
Yeah.
We had proper shops. I mean, they're quite cute little fellas. I think they used to go feed me. They used to sing when they're happy. They used to go la, 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 get me? Belch. One of my favourite when they went to feed me, they have a little bottle and a brush. They were really good, get me?
You had four of them going off at different times, David. You used to, you know.
Yeah, what fun.
I just
talk
didn't know.
About madness a bit younger, get me?
Yeah.
Lisa, but no, it's enjoyable memories now you think about it, get me?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Well, like I said, it's really great. I mean, compared to what some of the stuff you get now in toy shops, it's a shame they're not easy to get hold of now, get me?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff now I wouldn't buy, get me?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. It's a bit like me about my dietary requirements. I mean, I'd rather have something decent now. Yeah. If I have a ready meal, I'll take one look at it. I like that. Not eating that. Tasteless. A lot of things have changed me a lot of the last few months, and a few people noticed that. Get me?
Yes, yeah.
in how I'm really feeling, what I do, And I think, basically, I think some of the stuff your prayers course about people with dementia, that's a very interesting conversation to listen to. Sorry, not being rude. But I think there's a couple of points there that I think some people should be picking up on,
Right, okay, yeah.
And I said, I don't know if it's got dementia, but like I said, I do, but I'm not going to say names, because that person lives next door to me,
Right, okay, well, that's identifiable in itself. So, also, sorry, because I'm just reading the notes that are left, because you know they always leave me a couple of notes, so I've got a bit of an idea what you're talking about. You're also a Star Wars fan as well. Did you have some of the original toys?
Yeah, I did do,
Did you?
A mini Darth Vader figure.
Nice.
I've got the CPO-1,
Nice.
I had the X-Wing toy fire. I did like doing when I was younger, making the model kit ones. The Air ones. You make the X-Wing, the toy fire. Days when you could get a hobby and it was a hobby.
Definitely.
And not just what you've got now, Lisa.
That's properly getting involved with it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, what I'm doing now, basically, I still got some interest. Like I said, at the end of the day, I got interest still, but I decided last week when I lapsed a bit, I need to drop some of this heavy stuff,
Because
I had my friend Morella go with me to the doctor, and she said, you're exhausted, he's taking your blood again. You take a holiday or you just shut things down a little bit, what you don't do, leave the heavy stuff, the politics, the world affairs alone just for a little while. Because what's happened to me, I sleep for about an hour or two, the brain will kick in, I'll wake up, and then it's a job to get back to sleep again, But now I've left some of the stuff off, the world heavy stuff off the dog. I'll just put it all away in the drawer. It's getting a little bit easier for me to sleep at the moment. And it's helping.
Good stuff. Well, you take that advice because you need to look after yourself.
Yeah, of course I do. It's great to talk to you lot, I know. It's great to hear some of the really interesting stuff. It's a very interesting subject. I'll give you one like a little bit. I'm going to send it, It's a lyric,
Okay.
Worms are great. They're not your mate. Listen to Rainbow Fire Radio 5's life. There is your mate. I was going to text you. I'm too tired.
Oh, David. Listen, I've got to go to the news now, but take care of yourself and take that advice, all right?
Yeah, and I'll speak to you soon, Lisa.
You better. I want to speak to you again soon, David, all right? You take care of yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
See you later, David and Gravesend. Oh, my goodness. 0808 590 993 is the number if you want to get in touch with us on the phone. And you can text as well, 850 58. It's 132.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Here's your news headlines this morning. The legal teams representing the women who say they were sexually assaulted by the former Harrods boss, Mohammed Al-Fayed, say they received more than 150 new inquiries since the BBC documentary revealed the allegations. The current owners say they're appalled at the allegations and have urged women to get in touch with them to seek a settlement. The Israeli military says dozens of its planes have carried out more widespread airstrikes on Hezbollah targets in southern Lebanon. A spokesperson for the Israeli Defense Forces said they took out their action after identifying plans by Hezbollah to escalate rocket attacks on Israel. Sir Keir Starmer has promised that change is coming on the eve of the Labour Party's first conference since winning the election. The gathering in Liverpool comes amid a difficult few weeks concerning donations for clothes and other items given to the Prime Minister and other senior colleagues. The party says that will no longer happen. And Donald Trump has said he won't take part in another televised debate with Kamala Harris before the presidential election. The Vice President has accepted an invitation to CNN to hold a second debate. Time for the sports news now. Here's Andy Barwell.
A destructive performance from Daniel Dubois on the biggest night of his life. The IBF title holder knocked out the two-time unified world champion Anthony Joshua in round five of their heavyweight boxing clash at Wembley Stadium. And afterwards, Dubois said he still had to reach his full potential. How will Manchester City react today, having been joined level on points by Liverpool and Aston Villa in the Premier League title race? In fact, Liverpool are top on goal difference, although boss Arne Slot said it wasn't easy in beating Bournemouth 3-0 at Anfield. Villa fought back to defeat Wolverhampton Wanderers 3-1, and City's game in hand this afternoon looks to be a real blockbuster. It's against Arsenal at the Etihad Stadium. Rangers and Aberdeen reached the last four of the Scottish League Cup. Celtic faced Falkirk in the last of the quarter-finals. Cricket, England went 2-0 down in their five-match one-day international series, with Australia winning at Headingley by 68 runs. Sunrisers lifted the women's Rachel Hay O'Flint trophy for the first time as they beat South East Stars by 27 runs. Today it's the turn of the men's 50-over final, with Somerset taking on Glamorgan at Trent Bridge. In Rugby Union's Premiership, there were wins for Leicester Tigers and for Saracens. Dragons were winners of the first Welsh derby of the new United Rugby Championship season. They defeated Ospreys. Lando Norris in the McLaren is on pole position for today's Singapore Formula One Grand Prix. And the Italian player Matteo Manassero on 18 under par leads by three shots going into the final round of golf's European Tour PGA Championship at Wentworth.
Live Premier League Sunday.
Mikel Arteta to Arsenal is confirmed.
We were sad when he leaves. He's a wolf or beyond a good manager.
Arsenal have confirmed the signing of Declan Rice.
Manchester City have agreed a deal to sign Erling Haaland.
They are champions again. They've won it 4 years running.
I think Arsenal get even closer again.
Their level is higher and higher.
Five Live Premier League Sunday.
Welcome to you, Manchester City against Arsenal.
Listen today from 12 on Five Live and BBC Sounds.
BBC Radio Five Live.
The voice of the UK.
On digital radio.
On BBC Sounds.
And ask your smart speaker to play BBC Radio Five Live.
Lisa McCormick.
BBC Radio Five Live.
Good morning. Thank you for your calls and your texts so far. It's lovely to have you as part of the programme. A couple of things we're talking about tonight. We are talking about your experiences with dementia. I would love you to share them with me. It's good to talk, isn't it? It can be quite a difficult one to talk about. But we're going to hear a little bit later on from a charity who's doing some work to help people who leave their houses, maybe get a little bit forgetful and can't manage to get home. So we're going to speak to them. We're also going to hear from Angela and Dawn. Dawn suffers from dementia. Angela cares for them, and she's been sharing their story with me as well. So I'd love your experiences with dementia. I'm also asking you as well the strange or unique places that you've been on a date. This is after Diane Abbott wrote about a brief romance she had with Jeremy Corbyn in her memoir. And she said that he suggested they go on a date to Highgate Cemetery to see the tomb of Karl Marx. You can see why that romance didn't last, can't you? Maybe you've got a more successful story. Maybe it's every bit as tragic as that, but I'd love you to tell me the strange places you've been on a date. Was it a roaring success, or were you as impressed as Diane Abbott? And we're talking toy crazes on the programme as well. What's the toy you travelled the country for to make sure you secured it for your children? What is the one toy that you asked for but it was utterly impossible to get? Or what is the one thing you did get and you could not believe it? You couldn't put it down for weeks because you were so, so excited that you got the toy, the number one toy at that time. Share your stories with me 08085 909 693 or text me to 85058. And to the person who's just texted saying, how many times do you have to repeat the numbers? It's very annoying. And, you know, we need to tell people how to get in touch. Do you know what I mean? So I'm going to say it one more time to annoy you. 08085 909 693 or text me to 85058. That's 08085 909 693 or text me to 85058. I even got it wrong in the third time. That's how many times I say it. Right, let's go back to the phones. Rob is in Nottinghamshire. Hiya, Rob.
Now then, Babby, you're right, me dog.
Yeah, I'm all right. You keep them well?
Yeah, yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
Glad to
listen,
hear
I want to talk toy stories.
Oh, go on.
And I ain't talking Buzz Lightyear.
Right, I like what you did there, Rob. Tell me more.
Yeah, well, I had the toy that most lads lusted after at the time, but I can't think of anybody else that ever had it.
Right, okay. What was it?
Action Man Skyhawk.
Right, okay.
What was Action Man Skyhawk?
I'm about to
Google. Was his hang glider.
Ah, nice.
Right.
Nice.
And I had various other things. You know, I had the boat. I had the climbing frame, I had the helicopter, I had the tank, and none of various other people had them,
yeah.
But I never came across anybody else that had the hang glider, the Skyhawk.
I've done a little search for a picture of the Skyhawk, and that looks like it was a pretty cool toy, to be honest, Rob.
Yeah, it, massive yellow wingspan.
Yeah. With little seats.
With a sort of like Action Man logos on it.
Yeah.
And an undersling thing where the doll used to sit. But, and here's the kicker, it wasn't very good at gliding.
Oh, right. Maybe that's why it wasn't quite so popular then.
Yeah. I think it just simply, it was over-engineered, it weighed too much, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
From an engineering sort of like practical point of view, it didn't fly very well.
Yeah, well, that's a shame, but it looks cool, so...
Absolutely, yeah.
You know?
Well, I had it up. I made it up and I sort of, like, dangled it on a piece of string from the bedroom ceiling.
Well, listen, if it made you happy, that's what matters, isn't it?
Yeah. I've also got another... Well, it's a pretty tragic story, actually, because my younger brother, he died when he was about... Well, when he was 12.
Oh, goodness, I'm sorry.
And he died in November.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know this because I inherited the family house.
Right.
And decades later, and I mean decades later, I went upstairs and did the loft out, re-insulated it, and found his toys that my parents had bought for him.
Wow.
I think it was 83.
Yeah,
83. So basically, I've got Christmas 1983 up in my loft.
My goodness.
For a little boy.
What was there?
TCR, Total Control Racing, slotless scale electric, where you can actually lane change.
Oh, wow. I've never seen that.
Made by Ideal. What else was there? Evel Knievel.
Oh, wow.
Evel Knievel with his sort of like bike. And as you sort of like wind it up, there's flints in the back that make sparks. And it zoom, zoom.
Wow.
Ramps that you can... Oh, and his trailer as well.
Brilliant.
The Evel Knievel trailer. That looks awesome. And people have said to me, oh, why don't you sell these? These will be sort of like, not exactly priceless on open market, but...
No, but
I don't want to get rid of them.
No, absolutely not. But I know what you're saying. I mean, just to be honest with you, I'm just looking myself here at the Evel Knievel classic stunt.
Yes.
Figure, yeah, that'll be it. I mean, you know, it's like 100
quid. Got pods on the back that as you wound it up,
yeah.
There was flints in the back and it actually made sort of like sparks.
Brilliant. Brilliant. That's such a cool toy. So like that, for example, you know, just having a quick little look on the internet here, but 100 quid you can get for that brand new, but it's presumably worth far more to you than that.
Oh, absolutely. I've never used them. This TCR, I'd probably like to see it working, but I don't even want to open them, to be honest.
Oh, goodness. Well, I mean, all those years later, what was that like coming across those toys in the attic?
Well, to be honest, I didn't even know this because, you know what I mean?
Mm.
At the time, you know, my brother, he just passed and that were it. And I didn't even know this. And like I say, coming across it, I'd be about 14 at the time. And and as I did it out, I think I was about 52 as I did the loft out. So that tells you about the time frame.
Yeah.
And I got no idea that these toys were there all that time.
Goodness.
You know, and they'd obviously put them away for Christmas and he'd pass suddenly, so that were that, I guess.
Yeah. Just nobody went near them again. Well, I mean, that's an incredible story, Rob. It really is. And I can see why you want to keep hold of them, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, because I'd be sullying his... I don't know, life, if I got rid of them, really. You get me?
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, obviously, it was a number of years ago now, but, you know, you must still carry the, you know, that experience of what that was like to lose your brother at that age and quite close to Christmas as well.
Yeah, well, It absolutely destroyed my mum, as you could imagine. It destroyed her. But I guess, you know, life goes on, doesn't it? You know, you have to, really.
Yeah. What kind of kid was he? You know, are these the sorts of toys that he would have really loved?
He was the baby of the family. He didn't get away with blue murder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, what he could get away with, or, you know what I mean? He was a precocious kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Well-liked kid. Everybody liked him.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I enjoyed my Skyhawk anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yeah. I can't come across any other... You know, when I speak to kids, when I speak to people my own generation...
Yeah, who would have been
kids? I've never heard of that toy.
Yeah.
I can't remember anybody with that toy.
Mm.
Action Man Skyhawk is hang glider.
Well, I think it looks pretty cool, personally. If it didn't fly, even if it did have to be hung on the ceiling, that's fine. That's fine.
No, it was cool.
Oh, Rob, it's so lovely to talk to you. It's such a lovely story to share with me as well, so thank you for that.
No worries.
All right, you hang on to those, all right?
Yes, I will. Keep do, yeah. On. I'll never, ever get rid of them, ever.
Good. Lovely, lovely to hear that, Rob. Thank you for your call. You take care.
And you, love.
All right then, take care. Robin Nottinghamshire there with his story. What a lovely, lovely story it is. 0808 5909 693 is the number if you want to give us a call. You can text us as well, 85058. I'm going to go through the text in a second because there's quite a few coming in, but I'm just going to have to read through them before, you know, because goodness knows what you lot will do to me, you know, try to get me to say something. So I'll do that in a second. We're talking toys. We're also talking your stories with dementia as well. And I think that's why Edward and Witness has called us. Hiya, Edward.
Oh, morning, Lisa.
How are you doing? Are you well?
I'm doing fine. Can I just say, your show is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, Edward, thank you.
And with your show, you really give the ordinary person the opportunity to ring you up and to talk. And I think that's pretty marvellous.
Oh, Edward, thank you. It's what makes this programme, and it's why I enjoy it so much. Because do you know what, Edward? You and I, we might not meet in everyday life, but here we are. We've got the chance to have a little chat. I can get to know something about you. You can get to know something about me. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
That's right.
You know? So thank you. I really appreciate that feedback. Thank you.
Well, it really is meant. It's heartfelt. It really is meant.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's talk about Mrs.
Come on, then.
She had her name was Joan. I don't know if you mentioned names on her. Her name was Joan.
Yeah.
And she came over. She was my elder sister.
Mm-hmm.
She was 10 years older than me. And I remind her how many years it was between us. Anyway, her husband died early on, so I went to see her twice a week for about 25 years.
Yeah.
And then I started to see some changes in her. But she was a nurse, actually, in the Mill Road Hospital, which is not there anymore, in Liverpool. It's now been knocked down, but she was a maternity nurse.
Okay.
And we were friends with nurses. But you could see when she started asking to repeat different things, to repeat it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell there was something wrong. And,
yeah.
And she was driving at that time. And I had to sort of, I didn't want to say, take your license off, take your car off you.
Yeah.
But I could tell it in a nice way. In fact, what I did is, she was coming up to 80.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, I went out with her one day, and I said, you know, your insurance is due, your car insurance. And I said, it's going to book. And I hadn't really. Why did all this for her? John got up at her. Anyway, she said, oh, I'm not paying that. Would you usually say that?
Yeah.
I'm not paying them. So I said, okay. So, you know, we got rid of the car to my grandson. We give the car to him, grandson.
Uh-huh.
So that was that. So she had no car. She was getting this dementia repeating. And in the end, she had a fall, mm-hmm. fell down the stairs. She lived on her own because her husband died 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So she had the fall, fell down the stairs, broke her hip, and the daughter, she had the daughter. She organised the ambulance and everything else. She went to the hospital.
Yeah.
Now, after that, she came out. And she got over that. She came out.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't right, and my niece was worried about her. So, in the end, she had to go in the care home.
Yeah.
She had to go in the care home, which is very, very sad. But when she was in there, I'd go the same time. I've got to go twice a week to see her in the care home. Now, we come with COVID.
Oh,
and
goodness,
I was there for a year. I went once, because of the COVID, I went once, and I could see her.
Mm-hmm.
But she wanted to see me to come in. She said, ask my brother, I want to come in.
Yeah.
Of course, we let him. So I think along those lines, the government then, and always COVID and the new thing, but they had a big garden there. Can I mention the name of the care home?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was called the Manor,
mm-hmm.
which is just outside Liverpool.
Yeah.
It was a lovely place. Lovely staff. She got well looked after. Very well looked after.
That's brilliant to hear. It really is.
But that time with the COVID, what, 2019, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't see her. She took ill. She had a stroke and was taken to hospital, into Aintree Hospital, actually, local. And I was only allowed to see her the once because an extra came to only one allowed. Because of the COVID, it was only a daughter could see her. So I saw her once, and she was unconscious, so she never actually spoke to her.
Yeah.
But that was a very sad time. And really, I mean, I don't hold grudges,
mm-hmm.
but Boris Johnson and co. were having parties, as we all know, and I couldn't see my sister, and I know it touched me. There was lots of people that was in the same boat as me, and they couldn't see the loved ones because of the government's saying that you got to stay, you can't go in and such.
Yeah.
I think I don't want to say much more about that now. It's all good. Labour's come in now. It's Conservative, just by the way. Mm-hmm. Conservative didn't lose the election. They give it away.
Yeah.
They give it away.
Because yeah, you think, yeah.
Anyway, that's all I'd like to say. It's very sad, but we have to get over these things and not hold grudges. I don't hold any grudges now against the government.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. We never had COVID before.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody knew how to react. So I think it was a bit over the top, some of the things they asked you to do. But that's my story, anyway, Lisa.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm sorry that it was sort of, it ended in that way. And you know, you've got such a positive outlook as well, because you're right, you would drive yourself absolutely crazy if you did hold grudges about it. But so I think you've handled it in an absolutely fantastic way. And thank you for sharing your story, Edward. I appreciate it.
Okay. Right. Thanks for letting me on the show, Lisa.
Anytime, Edward. Always here for you. You know that.
Oh, okay.
You take care. Bye-bye. See you.
You have a good night.
You too, Edward. Edward and Witness there and his story. Also on the text story, there's no name on this one, but let me share it with you anyway. My mum, Florence, is 87 and has had vascular dementia and Alzheimer's since 2020. She still lives at home, still knows who we all are, which is thanks to my sister Jeanette, who lives next door to her. Without the constant care from my sister, my mum would be in a care home. It's such a heartbreaking, terrible illness to witness your mum slowly losing her mind and impossible to manage unless there's someone like my sister to cope with it. 90% of dementia sufferers end up in a care home, which is the only option for families because it's impossible to manage, even with home carers who can only stay for an hour at most. If there's no constant family contact, the illness rapidly takes its toll until you experience a loved one like my mum, who brought up four children just become a vacant, scared person. It's so hard to describe the mental pain that families go through watching them slowly slip away. And that's so, so eloquently worded. It really is. Thank you for your text. It makes so, so much sense to anybody that's going through that. 0808 5909 693 is the number. Share your stories of dementia with me. Or you can text me 85058. Thank you to Ming, who sent a nice message in today. So thanks for that, Ming. And also Frank, who says, please read my text. 0808 5909 693 or 85058. Frank, you're welcome back in the programme anytime you like. Now, we're talking about coping with dementia because I know it is a topic that many of you have got experience with. And the reason that I wanted to talk about it this week is because I was reading about a charity in Northern Ireland that have announced a simple but potentially hugely useful idea to help. And it involves a wristband that someone with dementia can wear. It contains information that could help them if they leave home, they become lost or confused. Well, Angie McLaughlin's been helping her friend through his own dementia diagnosis since 2016. Don McCart's a former professional golfer. He's gone missing on a number of occasions now over the years, and he now wears one of these wristbands in case he does get confused and goes missing again. Now, we're going to hear the full interview with Angela later, but here's a little bit now where she describes what it was like when they first found out about the diagnosis.
When we left the consultation, Dawn immediately, as is his nature, he immediately shrugged that off and he said, I'm just going to go ahead and live my life and do the stuff. All I want to do is play golf. And I thought, well, if that works for you and that's how you hope, go for it. And that's how he has been. And still to this day, and obviously he was less cognitively aware, but to this day he still is completely oblivious to his condition. And when he hears the word dementia talked about, he goes, dementia. So it's, it happens to other people. It hasn't happened to him.
I mean, it's great that he deals with it that way, but obviously, it's much, much harder on you because, you know the reality of what he's going through, and that must be a huge worry.
It's a big worry because at the outset, there are all the things that need to be thought about and that need to be considered. And obviously, I accompanied Dawn to tell his son and his daughter and his daughter-in-law. And that was difficult for them. That was a shock. Then there were the arrangements that needed to be considered. Dawn was very reluctant to do that at the beginning. You know, things like setting up a power of attorney, things, like tapping into resources that might be available. He wasn't interested in any of it because he was in complete denial of it. It's very hard to bring Dawn along on that journey through it. And it became more difficult as time passed because obviously then he began to lose the ability to really make the proper judgments about things.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very daunting time for carers. And my heart goes out to people who are in that position, especially at that point, at that first point of diagnosis, and then thinking, what are we going to do? How do we do it? How do we go about it? Who can we get to help us?
Yeah. And what is the support network like, Angela? You know, have you found many resources on this journey?
I have struggled. And I was actually reading through some information from various well-known dementia organisations. And the stories and the blogs that people write are very humbling because people in the main have all experienced the same obstacles, the same difficulties. My experience of it, and obviously it's been a bit more disjointed because Dawn was in England and I was here, and then I suppose lockdown really changed things.
Yeah.
And I noticed then that Dawn actually wouldn't be able to manage through lockdown on his own. He had been living independently, albeit with a bit of difficulty up until that point. So when I brought him here to stay temporarily, and he has sort of gone backwards and forwards to England in between times, so it's a bit more disjointed and a bit more difficult. But the situation for me now, and I think others share this concern, is the lack of meaningful, practical sport in the community. And that's why Causeway Edge Concern have actually, they've been a blessing. And I sit on board now as well. And I think it's amazing the amount of activities that they provide with very little funding. And, you know, the amount of support that they're happy to provide.
Well, that's Angela McLaughlin there speaking to me before we came on air. And we will hear their full story on the programme a little bit later on. And I'd love yours as well. And I want to hear about the support that you've got too. And I'm aware that it could be quite a heavy subject, this. And we absolutely should discuss it. We should talk about the hard stuff. But also, let's talk about the happier times as well. Because I lost count of the amount of conversations I had with my nanny that were so ridiculous that I have to come away and laugh about it. Because what else are you going to do, right? Your experiences with dementia, send them to me. And also toys, the one toy that you really, really wanted to get a hold of, whether it was when you were little and you wanted your parents to get it, or whether it was when you were a parent. 0808 5 909 693 or text me. The number is 85058.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC News at 2 o'clock. This is Anna Cunningham. The boxer Daniel Dubois has retained his IBF World Heavyweight title with a brutal fifth-round knockout of Anthony Joshua at Wembley Stadium. The 27-year-old dominated the bout in front of 96,000 fans. Joshua was hoping to join an elite group, which includes Muhammad Ali, of three-time heavyweight champions. Speaking after the fight, he said he would make another comeback. Back.
Yeah, I think, you know what it is, before I came here, I'm always saying to myself, I'm a fighter for life. We rolled the dice at success and we came up short, and we roll it again, innit? If you know what I mean, we keep rolling the dice.
Israel has imposed restrictions on civilian movements in the north of the country after it carried out airstrikes on Hezbollah targets in southern Lebanon. A spokesman said the order was in anticipation that Hezbollah would retaliate. An Israeli airstrike in the Lebanese capital Beirut killed at least 37 people on Friday. Ali Hakahi is a councillor there and says the military action won't change anything.
People absorb the shock and they start their life again. It's hard, but this is the way we choose. And we will not stop. We have to defend our country. We have to defend our border. We have to defend our people from Israelis or from others.
Sir Keir Starmer has said it's his job to do something about leaks coming from government, which this week led to his chief advisor's salary being made public. Sources revealed to the BBC that Sue Gray now receives a salary of £170,000, more than the Prime Minister is paid. Speaking to The Observer ahead of the start of Labour's conference in Liverpool today, Sir Keir said leaks damage everybody and that it's his responsibility to solve the problem. The social media platform X has agreed to comply with court orders in Brazil, where its services were suspended last month. Brazil is one of the platform's main markets, with an estimated 20 million users. Leonardo Rocha reports.